All right, Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. We're going to read the first 8 verses together. Numbers 32, verses 1 through 8. Keep your Bible open. We'll kind of use this as a springboard tonight. Numbers 32, verses 1 through 8. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that, behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came, spake unto Moses and Eleazar the priest, and the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elealeh and Shebam and Nebo and Beon. Man, what stupid names they had back then. Billy Bob and Jimbo, and anyway, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Notice that statement. Moses said unto the children of Gad and the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall ye sit here? Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given unto them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. Now, the Jews were encamped east of the Jordan River. They were outside of the Promised Land, or the Canaan land. They're about to enter into the Promised Land. And Moses is giving instructions on how they're going to go in and conquer the land. Now listen to this very carefully here. Moses gathers them together, the leadership, and the leaders of, and by the way, he's saying, look, we're about to get God's full blessing. This is the land that God promised Abraham. This is the land that Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees to a land that he knew not. Followed God, and this is that promised land that God gave him to our fathers. And here is the interesting twist to the story. As Moses is showing how they're going to divide the land up a bit, the leaders of the tribe of Reuben and the leaders of the tribe of Gad come and said, look, here on this side of the Jordan, this is good land for our cattle. We've got a lot of cows. We want your permission not to go into the Promised Land. We just want to stay here. We'll just take this area. Wow. Moses gets a little angry. He looks at them, and in verse number 8, he said, thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. He said, you lame brains, don't you remember what happened 40 years ago when I sent the spies in? Your fathers did the same stupid thing. That was my translation. That's not in the Bible, all right? but he begins to rebuke them as he would and as he did their forefathers 40 years before. And by the way, God was upset with them too. God wanted them to go into the Canaan land. There they are at the edge. They have been through the plagues of Egypt. They have been through the crossing of the Red Sea. They've been through the wilderness for 40 years. They've put up with the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, the manna every day, etc., 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 etc. And may I say this, they've done all that, and now they're not even going to go into the Canaan land? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Brother Stoltz, could you touch that AC up? Turn it up about 2 degrees. I'm comfortable, which means everybody else is freezing to death. Julianne's got snotsicles from her nose. Green little hangers there. Anyway, these leaders say, and by the way, Moses says, why are you going to discourage your brethren? You came all this way and you want to sit here and do nothing while we go in and conquer the Canaan land. Well, the leaders begin to negotiate with Moses. They said, look, no, we'll not do that. Tell you what, Moses, we'll go across, we'll leave our families here, and all of the men will cross, and we'll fight all the way through the Canaan land and help our brethren conquer the Canaan land if you let us come back over here and settle, and this will be our portion. Now, they said they would do that. Moses says, all right, I'll agree, but under one condition. If you don't, God is going to literally destroy you and your families forever. So, and God would punish them horribly. How sad this was to God. How sad it was to Moses. God wanted them to have the full blessing in the land that flowed with milk and honey, and they didn't want it bad enough to go in. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. This might sound funny to some of y'all. A land that flows with milk and honey. Where does milk come from? If they had cattle, and for 40 years they had heard about a land that flows with milk and honey, don't you think that land would be good for cattle? I'm not real bright, but I'm bright enough to know if it's a land that flows with milk and honey, it's got to be pretty prosperous for cattle. Why in the world would you want to stay outside of a land that flows with milk if you had cattle? It doesn't make sense to me. Nor did it to God, nor Moses. Now, listen to this very carefully. They did not want it 40 years earlier when God wanted them to have it. They still didn't want it when God wanted them to have it. They still refused to go in. How sad. These Jews were willing to go in, risk their life for the promised land, for their brethren, but they weren't willing to live there. They were fighting to have access to it, but they didn't want to dwell there. Now, I'm going to give you several principles tonight. I really believe this will be simple, easy, but very practical and helpful. Number one. Reuben and Gad, the tribes of Reuben and Gad, allowed their things to be more important than God's blessing. Look at verse number 1. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of things. Cattle. Brother Mike, they were letting cows decide for them. Their cows were more important than God's blessing. And they were passing up a greater blessing by staying outside than going into the promised land. I'm going to make a statement. We rely way too much on our things. Now, there is nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. As long as you don't stay outside the promised land to get them. I know people that have nice things, but they work all the time, both husband, both wife, and they never see each other to pay for the big nice house they have. They've got nice cars, but they're both working 60 hours a week, 70 hours a week to pay the bills on the cars, and wearing them out, running them back and forth to work, and they wonder why they don't stay nice. They had much cattle. We trust what we see. We trust what we own. We trust what we can touch. It's hard to let go and have faith. I'm going to make a statement to you. Dr. Russell Anderson, I showed him the scratched out blueprints of this. He said, you preachers, He said, I thought I had faith. He said, y'all are nuts. He said, Brother Bush, I've been involved in construction a long time. I'm just, you can hear Dr. Ann, I'm just old coal miner. He said, but you got vision. He said, you don't even have your plans all the way drawn. You're already showing me where the first building's going, second building, parking lots, buses parking, where you got this, where you got that. He said, God gives something to a preacher like that. He said, this old coal miner don't quite get that. He said, it takes a lot of faith. He said, I admire your faith. I said, Doc, I'm not sure if it's faith or we're just nuts. He said, well, it takes a little bit of both. Wait a minute. You have to be able to trust what you cannot see. You have to be able to trust that which you cannot touch. Please don't take this the wrong way. The one thing I have fought the bank over most is this. I don't charge per person that comes in the door, like a regular business. You go out and get a $620,000 loan, put $170,000 in cash on a project to build a building, and you don't know what the offering is going to be next week. Try that one once. You wonder why it's turning gray and turning loose? I'll tell you why. But I don't worry about it a whole lot. You say, why? Because I got faith. I believe. And it's not just one of these, oh, I believe things. No, I've seen God do it over and over and over and over and over again. We're doing it God's way, and we're going forward. In the last three Sundays, we've had 19 visitors. I think we've had 9 or 10 different people saved. We've got folks lined up for baptism. Can I tell you something? God's still in it. That's what it's all about. Sometimes as a Christian, you're going to have to trust God and his word over your things. Yes. Comes a point in time where you got to say, hold off on the things and I'll just trust God. My wife and I were looking at some new furniture. I'm not buying it, so don't worry. I haven't sold the old house and don't have the new one built, but we're just looking to see what we might want. I have bought that woman 4 pieces of new furniture in 28 and a half years. Everything else has either been given or used. Somebody said, well, why are you doing all that? Because that woman deserves it after almost 29 years. She's been through a lot. And I'm not ashamed of it. We're saving and scrimping and doing what we can to make sure we can do it. No big deal. But I didn't have it when I was 20 years old either. Didn't go out and buy brand new stuff. I can now, kinda. And am I going to get the highest quality of the highest of the highest? I can't afford that. But we can get nicer than we've ever had. Now, sometime you got to get to the point where you're going to trust God and trust that book over what you can put your hands on. I want to make a statement here. Some people waste life on things. You work yourself to death to have the things you want when you want them rather than when God wants you to have them. I tell young couples, take a nice honeymoon, but don't make it the biggest thing in your life. I watch many young couples mess up starting off a marriage. They'll spend the average marriage, average wedding in America today is $28,000. If you'd spend $3,000 and put the other $25,000 in the bank, you could put a down payment on a nice house. I know ladies that have spent over $10,000 for a stupid dress they wear one time at a wedding that nobody else will ever wear again, nor will she. Because when she wants to wear it again, it's not big enough. Did I say that nice enough? Just like he's not going to fit in his tux again. Now, we waste so much money on things. God had a land flowing with milk and honey. They only saw what they had. They didn't see what God had for them. Do you know what my job is as your preacher? Is to get you to see what God has for you when you can't see it? Honestly. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. Hey, there's heaven awaiting all of us. I've taught on heaven. I've preached on heaven. Heaven's waiting. When I get news of somebody dying and going to heaven, my first words are, thank God for a place called heaven. I got word this weekend of a precious old saint that I know. A lady, a single lady, been single her whole life. She died at 84 years old. Started deaf ministries all over the country. God used her to reach tens of thousands of deaf people in her lifetime. I got word she passed away. My first thought was, heaven's a sweet place today. She's just about to meet up with tens of thousands of people that never could hear and never could speak. But man, they're going to meet her in glory screaming and hollering, and she's going to hear them and they're going to hear her for the first time. Whew, what a neat thought. Can I tell you something? That's hope of what's out there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Can I tell you something? Don't put so much stock in your things. Now, that doesn't mean just waste your things. Good night. We've gone through and thrown out so much stuff. I had stuff I haven't seen in 5-10 years. My wife said, what is it? I said, if I haven't needed it in this long, get rid of it. Man, I was chucking. I think we took 3 pickup truckloads to Goodwill. I know I had another 2 truckloads out at the curb. Say why? I don't need it. I had stuff that was broke just sitting there. Y'all know what I'm talking about. No. Good night. I don't even know where it came from. My wife said, what's this? I said, I don't know. We were going through stuff. She said, well, should we keep this in case someday when we have... I said, honey, in case we have grandkids, good night. Let's go buy it then. I said, do we really need it? I said, if it's something very necessary, yes. But I don't want to move it and not use it ever again. I've moved it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times already. Who cares? We were cleaning out one of the closets that I got all my hunting stuff and stuff in. I threw stuff away I haven't used. I didn't even know I had. And there was a... What was that thing? I call it a bedroll. Sleeping bag, that's it. In there. She said, you haven't used this much at all. I said, well, just hold on to it. I might need it. And someday we might have grandkids over and we need an extra spot for it. And she said, there's that grandkids. You didn't let me... I said, We did keep it, by the way. That was the only thing I said to keep that way. The only thing. Now, wait a minute. We hold on to things way too much. And God bless you if you got room for it. But if you've got every paper that your children ever did in school, what good is it? They don't want them anymore. Fire starter, amen? Oh, precious memories. They forgot about it and so did you. We look at what we have and don't see what God has for us. Reuben and Gad only saw what they had, and they weren't willing to risk what they had for what God had for them. I don't know about you, I'm willing to risk what God has for me over what I have any day. Number 2. So, number 1, Reuben and Gad allowed their things to be more important than God's blessing. Number 2, they were going to be a discouragement to their brethren. Look at verse number 7. Numbers 32, verse number 7. And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Moses said, if you stay here, you're going to discourage everybody and want to keep them from going into the land of promise that God had for them. They're not going to want to say goodbye to you. They're not going to want to part ways with you. They're not going to want to leave their friends over here while they go over there. they were not going to enjoy God's blessing because you don't want to enjoy God's blessing. Do you know, if you're not careful, you can discourage somebody by not enjoying God's full blessing? The tribe of Reuben and Gad, the tribes of Reuben and Gad wanted to visit God's will, but they didn't give up what they wanted to have God's will. They didn't mind occasionally helping with it, but they didn't want to give up what they wanted to have what God had for them. They wanted to live close to the promised land, but they didn't want to enter in. Sounds like a lot of Christians to me. They want to live along the edge. They want to be able to cross over every once in a while and say, well, I was close to it. I was close to it. Can I tell you something? Jump on in. The water's fine. Just jump on in. The water's fine. You know, we need to always strive to encourage by our faithful obedience. When you're not here, and I'm not saying, I understand, there's times you just can't be here. If you're giving your heave offering, don't show up to church, all right? There are times when you're sick, you don't need to be here. I understand that. But may I say this, sometimes people just miss, and your lack of faithfulness will discourage new Christians. Look at the crowd you have on a Sunday morning. How many come back on Sunday night and then Wednesday night? We need to encourage them by saying, look, come with me. I'll meet you there. Not, well, every once in a while we go. Amen or oh me. Don't accept the fact that our petty attempts to be close to the will of God is good enough. Well, I did my part. I did my part. I did that for 20 years. It's time for somebody else to do it. Well, when God makes you quit breathing, it's time for somebody else. But until then, keep doing it. I'm going to make this statement. God wants you to go in and possess. He doesn't want you just to go and visit. God wants you to go into the promised land and possess it, not just visit it. I thank God, and I can tell you this, my wife and I have made I've made a lot of mistakes in life. She hasn't, other than marrying me. We've made our fair share of mistakes. But I can tell you this, we've been in God's will every day for 28 and a half years of being married. Has every day been a great day? No. But 28 and a half years of being in God's will, it's great. It's great. Josh is coaching basketball down in Florida for their Christian school. And I think it's the second year they've played basketball. You know, he's got 5th, 6th, 7th graders playing 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th graders. You know, he's got the ants playing the aardvarks. They've played two teams where two guys on each of the teams was going into NCAA basketball. And they're playing against these little Christian schools, you know, and just last year they didn't have any wins. Zero. Nada. I think the most points they scored in a game last year was like 15 points. Josh got them this year. He said, Dad, this is going to be a long, hard row. He said, but we're going to do it. We're going to do it. They've gotten beat every game this year. But they've had some squeakers. It's been closer. Team that beat them 86-6 last year. Yeah, 86-6 last year. This year they played them, and it was 55-44, something like that. It was only an 11-point spread. He said, Dad, my guys played their guts out. He said it was great. He said, we didn't win, but I couldn't be. He said, I'm teaching them character, and we're going to make it. Monday night, we were sitting at dinner, and my phone buzzed. He said, Dad, we won. we won. I said, I want the video of the buzzer. She said, we were too excited. Nobody did it. I thought to myself, how happy those kids must be. I said, those boys are almost as happy as you are. And he said, almost, LOL. Now, wait a minute. And I said, isn't it fun being in the will of God when it's going good and when it's not going good? He said, Dad, these boys, he said, they wanted it so bad. He said, we were only 3 points up going into the fourth quarter. He said, they kicked it in. They won by like 11 points. I mean, they just, he said, I don't know what happened. I said, I do. Character. I said, teaching moment. He said, oh, man. He said, I can't wait till practice tomorrow. And he was going at it. Now, wait a minute. Too many people just want to visit God's will. How about live there? How about live there? My daughter-in-law texted me one day last week. She said, Dad, I'm so glad I have parents on both sides of my family that live in the will of God. She said, when the tough days come, makes it a whole lot easier. Don't discourage them. Encourage them. We must go in and possess, not just visit. Number three, told you I was going to be done on time or early. Don't put your shoes on yet. I got 10 minutes. They followed God's plan for every man to fight, but they still wanted to live outside the promised land. Now listen to this. Look at verse number 31. Numbers 32, look at verse number 31. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord hath said unto thy servants, so will we do. We will pass over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan, that the possession of our inheritance on this side of Jordan may be ours. Wow. Listen to this statement. They were not bad people, but they wanted to live where they wanted to live. They didn't want to live where God wanted them to live. They wanted to do what they wanted instead of doing what God wanted them to do. God allowed them, but they never did get the land that flowed with milk and honey. By the way, you check it out. I know what I'm talking about here. I think my battery did. That's all right. Tribe of Reuben and tribe of Gad were the first two tribes that went away from God after they settled. Take your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Look at verse number 13. Deuteronomy 27, verse number 13. The Bible says, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Notice, they were the first of the ones to stand and be cursed by God. Take your Bible, turn to Judges chapter 5. Judges chapter 5. Look at verse number 8. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? And this is in reference to Reuben. If you go back earlier in the chapter, it's talking about Reuben. Look down at verse number 15. I'll show you what I mean. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar, and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley for the division of Reuben. And I think I'm in the right chapter. Yes, I am. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of the heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flock? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead beyond Jordan, why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches. And on and on and on and on. Notice Reuben and Gad were these first to depart, and follow false gods. You say, why? They were the farthest from the temple, farthest from the tabernacle. They didn't want to go in and possess. They just wanted to be close. They brought some of God's ways with them, but they adopted whatever they wanted and added to it. Turn to Joshua chapter 22. Let me show you something here. Joshua chapter 22. And I wish I could read this whole half of the chapter to you. I don't have time, but I'll read several verses here quickly, starting in verse number 15. And they came unto the children of Reuben and the children of Gad, to the half tribe of Manasseh, unto the land of Gilead, and they spake with them, saying, thus saith the whole congregation of the Lord, what trespass is this that you have committed against the God of Israel, to turn away this day from following the Lord, and that you have builded you an altar that you might rebel this day against the Lord? Notice, this is in the book of Joshua, just after they conquered Canaan land. And they said, what are you doing? You have built an altar to turn away from God. You're rebelling against God already, and we barely got settled. If you read all the way through the end of the chapter, it talks about them burning sacrifices to false gods and everything else. They got away from God because they did not get what God had for them. They trusted their things over what God had for them. They thought they were strong enough to decide what they could do. Trouble is, their children weren't strong enough. You may be strong enough to get by with certain things, but your children won't be. A very wise person one day taught me, your children are a mirror of your extremes. What you allow occasionally, they'll adopt as the standard. Promise you. You slack your standards off on vacation or when nobody's looking, that's what they'll make as their standard when they're grown on their own. Sorry, it's what it is. When you're at your lowest, that's what they'll be at their highest. And it keeps going down. Very few people in life go above the generation before them. Very few. Thank God for a president that wasn't going based on what was before him. Amen. Thank God we got a president that's got some guts. And I'm going to go ahead and say it publicly here. I think what he did last night was masterful. And just so you don't get a wrinkle in your stuff. Man, that was the nicest way I knew how to say that. This thing with DACA and him saying that 10 to 12 years will allow 1.8 million illegal immigrants to be able to have a pathway. He knows the Democrats aren't going to accept it. That's right. So that he can say, okay, I tried to negotiate. Now y'all are going and you come back the right way. That's what I see. He's sharp. Oh, is he sharp. My favorite part of last night is when he does this. My wife and I were sitting there and I said, oh, that's classic. Oh, that's classic. I love the smirk. I love Nancy Pelosi looking like her dentures didn't have poly grip on them. She needs more than Botox. She needs Brown's funeral home. Now, may I say something? He's gone back to biblical principle. He couldn't even get them to agree on what they agreed on. People are upset that unemployment's down. Today, the Black Caucus came out and was upset at President Trump saying that the black unemployment rate's the lowest it's ever been in history. And began to call him a racist because he's making them work. No Lie. Welcome to Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson. No Lie. He could walk on water, and they would tell him he's wrong. But you just wait and see. Now, I say that to say this. You may be strong enough, but your children won't be. Your grandchildren won't be. I thank God, I mean this, in all the years I've been preaching, I have not changed. Amen. And I'm not going to change. Amen. You're stuck. Amen. Like it or lump it, it hasn't changed in 37. The next 37 aren't going to change either. But may I say this, I got to work hard so that my kids and my grandkids have what I have. I plan on passing the baton someday to somebody younger than I and say, don't change it. Don't change it. Look at all the modern trash we got in churches today. We want to add the West Coast mentality to it. We want to add follow the bouncing ball and the high-techy stuff. And let's get away from, we need to touch the intellect of man. God didn't say by the foolishness of reaching people's intellect that you change lives. He said by the foolishness of preaching.
Amen.
That's good.
I'm done. We should never base what we do for God on things or possessions. God's will has eternal treasures, and we have access to his inheritance. Why do we want to settle for what we can do? Money has never been a part of her and I's decision making on doing God's will. Never. Never one time. When we started this church, I made sure there were other people cared for before I even took a salary from this church. Say why? Because it was the right thing to do. Say, do you regret that? Not at all. Not a bit. We should obey God so as not to discourage our brethren. We should want to possess the land of promise, not just endure its battles and go visit it as we please. Why grow up in a Christian home, grow up in church, live right, and then decide you want to do something else and go live like an animal? It doesn't make sense to me. Because I've seen how they live and they don't come back right. Why turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? I know people that grew up in church, worked on bus routes, pulling little bus kids out of hell holes, graduated from high school, then they went to live in the hell holes they used to pull their bus kids out of. Doesn't make much sense. Not much at all. Reuben and Gad made a very bad decision. They wanted to trust their things. They wanted to be close to the land of promise, but they didn't want to possess it. They were willing to go fight and endure it for their friends and their brethren, but they wanted to do what they wanted to do over what God had for them. All because the land looked like it was good for cattle, but they hadn't seen the promised land. And God gave them the title, the land that flows with milk and honey. They had heard that for over 40 years. Why would you want to stay outside if you had cattle? Doesn't make much sense. But the world doesn't make much sense. Not doing God's will doesn't make much sense. God wants us to follow his plan so we don't discourage other brethren.